Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Tzadik Gimel with Aleph, just for a quick chazara. The bottom of Tzadik Bet Amud Bet, what we left off with was the statement of Rav Shesh and Amar Rav Asi, which is Chutin Shebechelev, as well as Shebekulia, the veins that are found inside the fat and inside of the kidneys, Asurim, Ve'ein Chayavin Alehem. They are Asur, Midr Abanan, but we're not Chayav on them. Now the thing that was important to us here was the Lovin Akulia. Lovin Akulia is the fat that's internal to the kidney. In the abscess, the area that's empty inside of the kidney, they're filled in with fat in the center, the charitz that's in there, and that fat comes out over the top as well, out through the same area that the blood vessels come out and the arteries come through. That area, the fats also come out from the internal side of the kidney. Rabbo mimartet le, he used to scrape it out, go all the way in and scrape it out. Rabbi Yochanan did the same. Whereas Rav Asi goyim le, Rav Asi was the important factor here because he only took off what was on the outside, what was visible from the outside. Anything internal, he left alone. And that's based on this principle, which is, Amar Abaye Kavate de Ravasi Mistavro. What Ravasi says makes a lot of sense. The Amar Rabbi Avram Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel, Chelev Shabasar Chufeo To Mutar. Any Chelev that is covered by flesh is not classified as Chelev. That doesn't have a classification of chelev. So Alma, Sha'alak Salim, when we're talking about the loins, it has to be on top of the loins, not inside the flesh. Amar Rahman, below Shatochak Salim. Achanami, also over here, Sha'alak Layot. The chelev that's problematic is that which is above the kidneys, that rides on top of the kidneys. Amar Rahman, below Shibatochak Layot. Not that which is found internal to the kidneys. Over here, the Tosfot down below says, Amar Abaye, Kavati the Ravasi Mistavra, he says, Mashma the Hochi Ilchoto. The loven kulia shari ain't zerich ligmom el mashu bechutz the kulia. Sounds like from this that the aloha is like Rav Asi, because it's by it says that Rav Asi makes a lot of sense, and therefore the aloha is like him. Now we're going to do the next gemara, and then we'll come back to this Tosafot, because now we have another interesting piece, and then we'll come back and look at the rest of that Tosafot. So now we have Gufa. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. We're going to have a number of memrot, I think five memrot, from Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel about chelev. The first one is that we just saw, chelev shabasar chupe oto mutar. Any chelev that is covered by flesh is mutar. Ini, is that really true? We have another memra by Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Haitarba de tute matne asir. That fat that is found under the loins is asur. Wait a minute. If you're talking about the fat that is on the loins, we already saw that it was covered by basar. So why over here is it problematic? So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, that's not a problem. Behema bechaya pruke mifraka. The animal, during its lifetime, so quasi, we'll call it, dislocates its hips, its loins, and therefore the fats are exposed. And Rabbi Yochanan seconds that, Rabbi Yochanan, ana lo tabchana, I'm not a butcher, I'm not a son of a butcher. Vinahirna. But I do remember, I do recall, the Ochi Avi Amri Beit Midrashua. This is what they said in the Beit Midrash. Ve'ema b'chaya pruke mifriko. That is what happens during the lifetime of the animal. That is true that when it walks, it moves its hips up, it dislocates the hips, it allows the fats to become exposed. So what's interesting over here is that you have a number of layers of fat that come around the loins. You can see it here from a cross section of the loins. You can see around here that these, the darker sides are the basar, and the white is the chelev. So the chelev that we're discussing right now is up here, the chelev that's up here at the top. This chelev right over here and over here. Because as the animal walks, you'll see that the basar gets pulled down. The basar gets pulled down and exposes this chelev at the edges. Since this chelev becomes exposed, the basar that covers it is pulled inward, and the hips shift upward, therefore it's exposed, and that's why it becomes a sur. That chelev in these corners is a sur. The remainder of the chelev is mutar. Rashi says something very interesting over here. So Rashi says about this chelev, it says, V'tachat oto krum av yesh chelev. Under this film, this covering, there is chelev. V'yeshno agim isur, v'oto chelev, v'yeshi oto krum, enu chashuv chipui basar. Shedak hu, so at the bottom of the basar, at the way bottom of the loins, there's basar all the way around. At the bottom, it's no longer basar, but rather it's cartilage. There's a small thin area of cartilage that goes across to attach the walls of the basar. So there are some people who say that that chelev that's underneath it is asur because it's not really chipui basar. There's no basar there. It's cartilage, not basar. And it's very thin. It's a very narrow section of basar, of cartilage that's there. But Rashi says about that, aval be'eretz Ashkenaz no'egim bo heter. In Eretz Ashkenaz, in the areas of Germany and so on, they were no'eg bo heter. They don't worry about it. And I think the same. That's my belief. That I think this is considered to be a total covering. And the chalev at the base of the loins is considered to be mutar. It's also mutar. And then he says, ubilovin kulya. What about with the kidneys that we said before? The lovin kulya, which we just read in Tosafot, that said that it sounds like the halacha is like Ravasi. So here Rashi says, halacha achara machmir. Go after the machmir, the sharei shacharav. To go and dig it out all the way from inside. Since we don't have a clear statement that the loch is like Ravasi, v'machmir yachmir. So a person who's machmir, tavod abracha, v'amuneya, and someone who isn't machmir, lo hifsid, doesn't lose out. So Rashi says, since there's no clear statement of a loch like Ravasi, be machmir like Rabba and Rabbi Yochanan. But on the other hand, it says by Abayi that it was mistabrak Ravasi, so maybe we should, if you don't do it, then you won't lose out. So that's Rashi's statement. The other thing Rashi notes is that there is an internal piece of chalev inside of the loins that goes all the way around, that circumscribes the entire innards of the animal. That piece of fat, that thin piece of fat, that's the chalev that's asurim by the ksalim. Because that fat is, does not have any basar that's kofeit, that internal piece. Plus the two areas at the top here, which the Gemara is describing, which are also going to be asurim. So that's the chalev that's asurim by the ksalim. So now going back to the Tosafot, ubikuntris, Nami kotov da meko lo hefsid. Right, so we said before that he says, look, it sounds like from Abaye the loch is like Ravasi. And he says in the Kuntris, and Rashi says that a meko lo hefsid. That's what we just saw here. Omneo lo hefsid. Ubishilto nami parshat vayishlach heviu divrei hamatir beloven kulya. Halachachar amachmir the shereshachalav. Kimdo itmachar chakotaki Abaye. He brings down the loch about the loven kulya, and then he says, it may as well be machmir because lo itmer yochata. The locha is not defined. Rashi is obviously quoting that same sora that the Gaonim had, that there was no definitive statement by the Gemara that the locha is like Ravasi, and therefore, v'machmir tabol avracha. Then, Tosfot asks, seems to be there's an inconsistency here. Uvuchelav asha basar chufe oto, mash metocha pein rasha kundrish, shepasha luhu, shemutar. So over there, by the basar that is chufe, to Rashi sounds like it's pashut, or it's a given that it's mutar, afa gav shaloven kulya, lo pasak behedya she mutar. Even though by the loven of the kulya, where you go and you have to be mishari shacharav, we don't have a clear statement, yet, what's the proof to it? The proof to it is the statement of Rabbi Avraham Rav Yehuda Mishmol that chelev that has a basar that's chofet is mutar. So how come Rashi is willing to take the statement that is brought as the proof and say, yeah, that's for sure is okay, but by the loven kulya is not willing to take that step? What's the difference? How come Rashi paskins the kula by basar chufet chelev? No problem. Doesn't have any questions about it. The loven kulya, he says, be machmir for even the internal fats. What's the difference between them? So Tosafot gives the answer over here. He says, lekach nirali, the daf chelev defanot should dome l'shar chelev. So only areas, the walls, the fat of the walls, which is similar to all other chelev. V'shem av totav krum v'niklafu havi mitzar ihavi karev. That the only time that the chelev is asur is chelev that would otherwise go on the mizbeach. So it has to be chelev that is dome to that which goes on the mizbeach. Aval chelev yoteret hakaved v'loven kulya v'shuman alya, all these other types of fats she'ein domim klal lechelev, that have nothing to do with fat, normal types of chelev, lo mitzatzei dein krevim b'torat chelev. They're never a sur because they're not brought on the mizbeach b'torat chelev. El agav yoteret v'kulya v'alya. They're only secondary to those items that go on the mizbeach. The yoteret hakaved, the kulya and the alya, which end up on the mizbeach. Therefore, the fats also come along with it. But since those are secondary items, those fats we're not going to go out of our way to be me'oser when we don't have to be oser them. It's only chelev that looks very similar to the chelev that ends up on the mizbeach and the chelev defanot. And therefore, that was the distinction he wants to draw between the different types of chelev and why we come out with a different conclusion. Right, it is more meko than Rashi. About the loven akulya, he seems to be much more meko. But he also distinguishes between chelev that's covered by the basar which is not, would not be karev legabe mizbeach, versus the chelev akuya, which could have ended up on the mizbeach. Now, if it ended up in the mizbeach, it should be also the gamre, and here we're matir it. So he says, no, because the only reason this chelev of the kulya goes on the mizbeach is because of the kulyot, not because of the chelev of the kulya. Therefore, it's only secondary. He says that the gezerot chachamim relate to how similar it is to what goes on the mizbeach, plus the reason that it goes on the mizbeach. Is it going on because it's chelev? Is it going on because it's secondary to an item that ends up on the mizbeach? So those are the rule of thumb that he uses. Okay, so now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, this is the third member we have from Amar Abba, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Chelev shala masis hemses or hamases, depending how you pronounce it, uveta kosot. So the chelev that is found on top of the omasum, as well as on top of the reticulum, asurim. That fat is asur. Vanush karet, and you will get karet for that fat as well. I mean, that's really considered to be chelev shal ha kerev. Vezehu chelev shala kerev. This is the chelev shala kerev. Now that's not really true. Because it's not really the chelev shala kerev, because there's plenty of fat that's ala kerev that is really the chelev shala kerev. What we mean here is not zehu, and not to exclusion of something else, but rather this is zehu to the inclusion in the other fats that are clearly considered chelev shala kerev. These fats over here that are over the hemses and over the beta kosot, they are also included in the chelev shala kerev. I'm Rabbi Abba, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Hi. Tarba de kli busta. So again, this is the fourth memra we're seeing from Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, that this fat of the kli busta, which is the innomit bone, asur vanush karet. It's asur and it's considered karet. Vizeu chelev shalak salim. And this is the chelev of the loins. Now again, it's not the primary chelev shalak salim. At least according to Rashi, it's not the primary chelev shalak salim. According to other Rishonim, who disagree with Rashi's explanation
of the Tarba de Tute Matna, as to what it is, we explained it according to Rashi. There's the opinion of the Rambam, there's the opinion of the Rif, that is explained by the Mordechai, as well as the opinion of the Rif, explained by the Beit Yosef.
They think that this is the Chelev Shalak Salim, literally, and that there is no other Chelev Shalak Salim. So we're talking about over here, Rashi describes what this Tarba de Kibusta is. It says, Etzim Katanhu, it's a small bone, Umunach al Etzim Shekorim Handka. And it's on the bone that is called the hanka. The hanka is the hip bone. So it's on the hip bone. Umechubar the chuliot aliyah. It's attached to the vertebrae that move into the tail of the animal. Milamalo. Balav yesh chilev. And on that it has fat. Tachat rosh hamotin. Below the loins. Shekorim gunbil. That area that we call gunbil. So what he's talking about is most likely the sacrum. He's talking about the sacrum bone. Tarbata de klibusta. So you can see it here in the picture. If you have here, this is the hip bone. Here you have the sacrum. And below it, there's some fat here that Rashi calls the chelev of the klibusta. So now you can understand why, according to Rashi, when it says chelev she'alak salim, that's not the main chelev she'alak salim. The main chelev of the salim is over here, is in the area of the loins. That fat, that is tarbata de klibusta, v'alav yesh chelev, then it has chelev on it. Tachat rosh hamaten, below the top of the loins. So that's the fat that we're talking about called lunbil. So Rashi is talking about a fat that is separated from the loins but is near the sacrum. There are other Rishonim who disagree, who think that it's literally the chelev shalak salim. And the chelev alak salim means the fats that are found by the loins that are below the hip bone and not what Rashi is describing that are below the sacrum. You can see here the shitot of the other Rishonim, which had the fat be much more inside of the loins, which would make it that when the Gemara says, Zehu, Chelev Shalak Salim, that's literally the fats that are on the loins, rather than Rashi's interpretation, which seems to move that as a smaller piece that is away from the loins. And then when it's saying, Zehu, Chelev Shalak Salim, means in addition, right, to the Chelev Shalak Salim, this is also considered to be Chelev Shalak Salim. Alright, so now, the fifth statement we have from Amar Abba, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Chutin, Shibiyad, Asurim. The veins that are found in the arms, meaning the forelegs, are problematic. Amar Rav Safra, Moshe. Moshe now here is used as a term, either as a term of Moshe, Talmud Chacham, meaning that it's a throwout word for somebody who's called the Talmud Chacham, they use the generic term Moshe. So he's saying to Rav Safra, saying about this statement, Moshe, Mi Amar Rachmana, Lo Techo Bisra. Where does the Torah say you can't eat flesh? These veins are found inside of the basar. You're allowed to eat the basar. Why can't you have these veins? Why do you have to take out these veins from it? So that's one way to read Moshe. The other one is Moshe means b'shvua in the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. That mi amar rachmana lo techo basra. You can't eat meat. Samar Rava Moshe. So he responds to him in Talmud Chacham. Or again, that he took a shvua in Moshe. Mi amar rachmana chol dama. The Torah doesn't say you can eat blood. And these are veins that have blood in them, so you can't eat them. So what do? Chatche, you cut it. Omalche, and then you salt it. Then you can put it into a pot. You can cook it in a pot. So if you've cut it open, which allows the blood to drain, number one, because you cut through the veins, it allows the blood to drain. Number two, you salt it. And then after that, it's considered clean the blood. You don't have to worry about it, and you can cook it even in a pot. The underlying assumption until now was that it was being roasted, that it was being over on the open fire, the tzli, which allows you to get rid of the blood. The blood, that's another way to get rid of blood. We saw that early in the Masechta. We're going to see it on the second half of today's daf as well. Tosfot, I'm just going to point out the question here. We'll come back later on. Tosfot says here, Michlal, dad hashka mashma, delove mari l'kdera, el l'tzli. Till this point, we were talking about a case where it wasn't going to a pot, but rather it was being roasted. V'afil ochi kamar dasur, l'fish lo chatcha. And the Gemara rejects that and says, wait, it's not good. Even when you do tzli, you have to cut it open. You have to cut the pieces in order for the tzli to be okay. Because that was the statement before. According to Rabbi Abam, Rabbi Yudam, Shmuel, chuti mishiyad asurim. They're problematic. So the way to solve it is to cut into them. Chatche. So instead of doing milche, instead of doing salting, you're going to replace the salting with tzli. And you can do one of the two. You can either do tzli or you can do salting. But the indication is that according to both of them, you have to do chaticha. We're seeing in the second half of today's daf, it sounds like you don't have to do anything. That it's not, you don't have to do milchay, and you don't have to do cutting. You just do the tzli without either of them. And the tzli is sufficient to draw the blood out. Tosu wants to understand what's the difference between the Gemara in the second half of the daf and this. When we get there, we'll come back and we'll look in the Tosu to explain it. Right, so now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So here it's another member of it. It's Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, but we're missing Rabbi Abba here. Reish mayo ba'amto ba'igreira. The first ama of the small intestines as they come off the stomach require to be scraped off. That fat needs to be scraped off. V'zehu chelev shel adakim. And this is the chelev of the dakim. Shnechel bo Rabbi Shom Rabbi Kiva, whether it's mutar or not. That chelev shel adakim, that machlokis is about this. Even though Rashi back in the daf when we spoke about the machlokis, it seems to indicate that there is no machloket about this section of the dakim, but the chelav shel dakim, that's the chelav, the fats of the intestines, is that first amma of the small intestine after it leaves the area of the stomach. The next memra is Amar Yehuda. So now we lost Shmuel as well. We had, until now we had Rabbi Abba, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Now we had Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Now we just have Amar of Yehuda. Putin shibaoketz asurim. The blood vessels, the veins that are found inside of the oketz asurim. Those are considered to be problematic. What is the oketz? That's, one second. Those are the chamisha chute, the five veins, itbe bekifla, that are found inside the loins. They're found by the hip, by hankara, she says, by the hip bones. There are five veins that come out of there. Tzlata miyamina, vetarte mismola. There are three that come out on the right side, and two that come out on the left side. Three on the right, two on the left. Tzlata, those three, mefatzle tre tre. They break up into two. And they split into two veins, smaller veins. Tre, the two, mefatzle, the tlata tlata. They split into threes. And diverge, split into threes. What's an apomena? Why do we need to know that they split into three, they split into two? The veins are coming out anyway. We have to take them out. So the way it says, the ishalif lehu ad lichamime mishtalfe. If while the animal is still warm, meaning immediately after shchita, you pull them out, they slide out. They pull. If you pull the upper end, it pulls the whole bottom with it and everything comes out. Vilo, if you don't do it right away, by the chutute batrai, then you have to start. You have to scrape in and get after them because they won't slide out easily. So Amar Abaye, v'item Rabbi Yehuda. Abaye says, let's say that's Rabbi Yehuda. Chamisha chute have. There are chamisha types of veins, nerves that we run into. Tzlata mishum tarba. Three of them are problematic because they are fats. Betrain mishum dama, and two of them are problematic because they are the blood that's contained in them. Detchachle of the spleen, dekafle of the loins, and the kulita and the kidneys mishum tarba are problematic because of chelev, that they have a din like chelev. Diodo, the ones that we just spoke about, the forearm, udloa, and the cheeks, although like the Rush and others add in that it's not just the cheeks, but the tongue as well. Mishum dama, our problem with blood. The mind afkamina. What's the difference between the two? All these kutim have to be removed. So why does it make a difference if the issue is that they're classified like chalef, or is the issue that they're classified like blood? So Gemara says, Hani de mishum dama, because the ones that have a classification or have a problem because of blood, if he cuts them, umolachlu, and he salts them, shaper dami, then they don't have the problem. Hanach, the other ones which are problems because of their looking like fat, or they have a din like chelev, there's no way to solve that problem except to take them out. If they're fats, the only way to get them out is to pull them out. With blood, the problem is not the vein itself. The problem is the blood that's contained within the vein. So how do we get rid of that? You cut it open and you salt it, you can get rid of it. So you don't have to rip the vein out. You can drain the blood without having to pull the vein out. And now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Kana, Vitem Rav Yehuda, Amisha Kar Mehavu. There are five films or covers that are over the organs of the animals. Platza Mishum Tarba, three of them are problematic because of their fats. Trei Mishum Dama, two of them are problematic because of the blood. The Tachle, the Kafle, the Tkulita, the ones for the spleen, the loins, and the kidneys, mishum tarba, are problematic. The film that encompasses them, the encasement, is a problem because of tarba. Debei, that of the testicles, or the mokra, and of the brain, mishum dama, are problematic because of their blood content, not because of their fat content. So, Yehuda bar Oshia, have a kakalifle takla. He was peeling off the fat from the spleen, because we just said here that the film that is over the fat, that is over the spleen, is problematic, so he was peeling it away. But he was doing it, Lelevi Bray, the Rabuna Barchia, Havaka Goimle, Miloi. But when he was doing it, he was only taking it off from the upper part. Now the upper part here, by the spleen, is where the dad comes out. Dad is the part where it's attached to the stomach, where it comes off the intestines. So that spleen, he was cutting off only the area up top. So he says to him, he was preparing this for Levi Brei Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Amalei Chavat Bei Tvei, he says, peel down further, go further down. Ata Avua, his father came, Ashkechei, and he saw what he was doing now. Amalei Ochi Amar Avua Dimech, that's what your mother's father said, Mishum De Rav, in the name of Rav Umano, who is his mother's father, that's Rabbi Irmiyar Bar Abba. Lo Asu Torah Elosh Adad Al Adad Bilvad. The part that is problematic, the fat is problematic, is only the part that's up by the dad, up by the area where it's attached. That doesn't sound like what he was doing. He was asking him to go down lower and cut lower. So, ini, is that really true? Vamar of Humnuna, Tana, Krum Sha'ala Tchul Asur, Vein Chayvinalov. The krum that is around the spleen is problematic, but Ein Chayvinalov, which means it's only an Isur Dirabonon. Hechidami, how do I reconcile these? Ilema Sha'ala Dad, if we're talking about what's on the dad, amayin chayvin alav. If we're talking about the fats that are by the dad, then for sure it should be chayav yimin midoraita. Ella, dekule, must be of the rest of it, the fats that are around the rest. So he says, amale itanya tanya. There's a breita, and therefore I can't say anything. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought the only fats that are problematic are the fats up by the dad, and that's what I was peeling off. But then, Levi, Braid Ravuna Barchia, was telling him, can't do it all the way at the top, you gotta do it all the way down. His father Aim came in and seconded that. And he says it's because of this braita that suggests that there's nisu d'rabbanon on the remainder of the fats. Gufa, Amar Rav Amnuna Tana, Krum Shal Atchul Asur, Vein Chayvin Alav. Krum Shal Gabi Kulya Asur, Vein Chayvin Alav. These films of fat that are on top of the spleen, on top of the kidneys, are asurim, but Vein Chayvin Alav, which means that they're only asur mi d'rabbanon. V'atanyu, we have a braita, Chayvin Alav. We have a braita that says the opposite, which is that you actually chayav nidoraita on the fats for the remainder of the spleen and on the kulya and on the kidneys. So tchula tchulo kasha, the spleen is not a kasha. Hakin neged adad, hashloka neged adad, depends where you are. It's the fats on the dad itself, as well as the area that's opposite the dad, that's dioraita you have to remove. The remainder of the spleen that you have to remove, that is only a din dirabonon. Now what about kulya kulya nami lo kasha? What about the kidneys? One instance you say it's an isu d'rabon, and the other place you say it's an isu d'oraita. Ha bi'ilo, ha bitato. Depends on what we're talking about. Are you talking about the outer film or the inner film, inner membrane? If it's the outer membrane, chelev mamash shalaklayot, yeshalav krum dak, hu chelev gamur. That has a din of chelev gamur, and that's isu d'oraita. Tato, the next membrane that's under it, is only also midrabbanan. It doesn't have a din of real chaylev she'ala kulya, but as a din midrabbanan of chaylev she'ala kulya. And therefore, there'll be a difference between on the two levels, the two membranes that are surrounding them. The outer membrane will be chaylev midoraita. The inner membrane will only be a chaylev midrabbanan.
Some people say that it is a crushed testicle, and others say that it is
testicles that are
severed,
detached. They're there, they're still within the
scrotum
encasement, but they are detached. One of them says it's asur, and one of them says it's mutar. Mandasar, one who says it's asur, midlo ka baryon. Since they will not regenerate, they will not reattach, they are not nitar ayidei shchita, and therefore they have a din of Eiver Minachai. Now Tosafot says right away, Mina Torah, lo abi Eiver Minachai. This is not Mida Torah. Kevan shemechubarim hem. They're still inside, they're still attached to the animal. Ma, tem nitarim b'shchita, kevarim amdu dolim. Like any other Eiver that's hanging on. Vein behem ele mitzvah prosh bilvad. And it's a din derabonon to separate from this type of item. So it's not saying it's an Eivir Minachai literally, but it's similar to Eivir Minachai and better not, you know, you shouldn't be eating it. It's an Isur derabonon. Right. Mandashari, the one who says, Mutar Medol Kol Masarchon. The fact is that they don't go bad. They don't rot in there. When they detach, they don't rot. Hani Chiyuta Itvu, that means that there's still life, there's still some blood flowing through them, otherwise they would go bad. Vidach. What about the other opinion? He's right. They don't rot. They don't go bad. Sounds like they still are attached to the animal and alive. They're still encased. And since they're encased, the outer air can't get to them in order to cause them to deteriorate. Because that's what they're protected. Since they're protected, they don't deteriorate. If they weren't protected, they would deteriorate. Why don't they come back? Why don't they get healthy again? They've been weakened. They've been weakened to the point that they don't return to their original state. But on the other hand, they are still alive and well, meaning that they're still good. They will never return to their original state because now they've been weakened by this detachment. They are mutarim. But you shouldn't eat them. So that because of the Misorah that we have, the Minog, that you shouldn't eat them. So even though we over here think they are mutarim, but you shouldn't eat them because you have where you came from, the Makom that you came from, they are Osir them, and since they're Osir them, Al-Tishur Torah Timecha, Al-Tishur Torah Timecha is usually used by the Gemara to focus on Misorah and Minog, and since your Misorah, your Minog was that way, you shouldn't change now to make them mutarim. Amar Mar Ravashi, Hani Beye Digdia, the testicles of a gdi, ad tlatin yomim sharin below klipa. They're fine for 30 days.
It's a newly born goat. So for the first 30 days, sharin below klipa. You don't have to remove the membrane that grows on top of them because it has yet to develop properly and fully, and therefore there's no blood in there, so you don't have to worry about it. Mikan ve'elech, after the 30-day point where the membrane comes in fully, how do we know when it's reached that point?
Iazaran asurin. If they have zera inside of them, yadua sheish b'em dam, because then there's blood internalized to them. On the other hand, v'ilo azaran, if there's no zera inside of them, sharyan, and it's not a problem.
That's an indicator to us, well, if the zera is then already, then it's fully developed, and that means that the blood has also flowed in there.
Now yadinan, how do we know? How do you know that whether they have zera inside of them or not? How do we understand what's going on over here? So he says, i'it b'hu shuraiki sumke, if they have red streaks in them, asirin, then we make them asur. Leipahu sereki sumke, if they don't have red streaks in them, sharyan, then we make them mutar. Umtse, if you have raw meat
that has a very dark red color to it,
bei, the testicles, umizrike, and the arteries of the neck, pligi baravacha veravina, about what to do with them. So, b'chol haTorah kula, anywhere in the Torah, when it comes to machlokas between them, Ravina l'kula, Ravacha l'chumra. Ravina is always the kula, and Ravacha is always the chumra. V'hilchata k'Ravina l'kula. And we always pass in the locha like Ravina l'kula. L'bar mahani tlat. There are three exceptions. The Ravacha l'kula, Ravina l'chumra. Where Ravina is the chumra, and Ravacha is l'kula, v'hilchata k'Ravacha l'kula. And over here, the locha is like Ravacha l'kula. So that even in these instances where we have the umtze, the bay and the mizrake, they all, we say the kula, they are mutarim. So now, umtso, da asmik, raw meat that has a wound in it, has some redness on it, chadcha, you cut it, umilcha, and then you salt it, afilu dera nami shapir dami, and you can throw it into the pot. Leah nami bishipuda doib damo. That if you put it, hang it over the fire, you roast it, it draws the blood out, and you don't have to worry about it. Agrumre, you put it on the coals directly, pligavar ravacha ravina, chadamar mishav shoiv, that the coals cause it to pull the blood in. Chadamar mitzvah tzamtile, the opposite way around.
Constricts the meat.
Closes up, and therefore blood is trapped inside by the heat of the coals being placed on it. V'chein bei, the same is true of their testicles. V'chein mizukre, and the same is true by the arteries of the neck. So now coming back to Tosafot that we saw in the previous Amud, this is what I was mentioning. Over here, the Gemara sounds like you have an option. Your options are with these organs that have a lot of blood in them, either you cut them open and salt them, or you roast them. One of the two. But it sounds like you don't need to do any chaticha or milche when it comes to these organs. You just put them on the roaster and it's good. Whereas Tosafot pointed out before, spoke about the case of the chutin shebiyad. Over there it says that you need a chaticha, and then you have one of two options. You either do the milche, or you do the roasting. And Tosa says, I'm not willing to distinguish between them. You could have argued, maybe there's a difference between the blood by the yad and the blood by the organs that we're mentioning on the other side. It says, I don't want to do that, because im kein, it was a kasha l'perish Rabbeinu Tam. It become a problem for the Rabbeinu Tam to perish. Just like people cook liver after it being roasted. You can also cook it in a pot after it's been salted. If it stays in this salt for enough time, because meliach is equivalent to boiling it. When he says roteach ditzli, it means that the salt drew out the blood like it would have been if it was roasted. This wouldn't work. If you don't require a chaticha over here, if you say I require a chaticha and then you can do roasting, I require a chaticha and then you can do milche, the proof to the Rabbeinu Tam is the Gemara is equating tzli with milche. And that's the proof to the Rabbeinu Tam. If I distinguish and say that's not true, no, you really don't need to do it with the cutting. We see that from the second half of the Amud, that you don't have to cut it. You just have to put it on the roaster and everything's fine. So say the same thing over here. Eino chanami, it's the same here. The Gemara was not clear. It's relying on the second half of the daf to say that you just roast it. Then Rabbeinu Tam doesn't have a proof. Because then tzli is equal to cutting and milche. No proof that just milche by itself would be enough. So the Tosis doesn't want to go in that direction to say that they're all of the same ilk. So he says, it's dochok lechalek. It's hard to distinguish between the cases. Because they're already pulled out. They're still intact inside of the basar. That's a dochak to explain it. And if we explain it that way and we try to distinguish between the cases, then you're going to run into the problem proof for the Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore you don't want to do that. And he says that Rashi and our part of the Gemara that says you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do a chaticha, you don't have to do milcha, you can just roast it. He doesn't mean literally you don't have to do anything. He says you don't have to do both of them. You have to do one of them, and that's the way Tosafot reads Rashi in the end. He says he just picked up the Lashon of Gemara, but he didn't mean that you don't have to do anything. You have to either do a chaticha or milcha and then roasting, but it's not enough just to roast without the chaticha to allow the blood out.
Reisha b'kivsha. Here we're talking about the head of the animal, that they used to have to remove the hair from the animal. They did this by singeing the hair off in the coals or in the fire. They used to wet the head, wash it down, and then put it into the fire to have the hair singe off. If he stands it up on the Beit HaShechita, the location where the severing of the head was taking place, that's facing down, doiv damo, then the blood is drawn out from the head, and then one would be able to eat it. Vishari. But if you put it on the side, you lay the head down on the side, mikveh kofi. The blood pools inside the head, and therefore you'll have a problem because the blood's not clearing out of the head, vasur, and then remains asur. If he left it on its nose, not on the Beit HaShechita, but where there is an opening out of the head, which would allow the blood to drain through the nostrils, if he puts something into the nostril to keep it open while the blood's pulling through, shari. Then it's okay. Below asir. Otherwise, it's problematic. Ikedamre. Some say anechire va beta shchito doiv. that if it's sitting on the place where the severing of the head took place, or it's sitting on the nostrils where it'll drain out, that's fine. Atzdodim, if he lays it down on its side where before we said the blood would pool, if he puts something in there, he punctures a hole that will allow it to drain, then it's fine. Ilo, asir, on the other hand, if he doesn't, it'll be asur because the blood will pool inside, and that'll be problematic in terms of eating the meat afterwards. Now, Tosafot talks about a practice that they had. Here we're talking about removing the hair from the head of the animal. They also had this practice with birds, to remove the feathers from the birds. It says, Yeshanotim tarnagolot b'mayim. They used to put the chickens into the water. Achar shchita v'tomnim ota b'remetz. And then they stick it into the coals. Vasira notza, in order to singe off the feathers from it. So they didn't have to pluck it. It would singe off the feathers by putting it into the fire. So now, afagav d'bereisha b'kiv shaloshari. If you did this with the head of the animal, it would be problematic. So why is it okay with the bird? What's the difference between them? By the tarnagolet, the fire draws out the blood. But by the head, which Ratosa says has a lot of bones in it, that's samotahe, udvarim amak vimet adam, and other obstacles from the blood leaving the head, therefore, when you leave it on the fire, if it's not positioned in a way that it will drain the blood out, it'll be problematic. By a stam tarnagolet, when you put it into the fire, we're not talking about the head, there are no impediments to the blood leaving, and therefore the blood will leave, even if you don't put it on where the Beit HaShechita is down, or the direction, it doesn't matter what direction it, it's fine. And then he brings down from the Baal Halachot, Gidolot, if a person puts the Reishay down, Tzarech Letnuche the Beit HaShechita, if you put the head down, like we discussed in our Gemara, you have to have the Beit HaShechita downward, Kehecha Dinidu, Dama, so the blood will be drawn out, Ve'i Ichalei V'Hafchei, what happens if he makes a mistake, and he does it the other way around? So there he says, Mukrahu D'Asur B'Achila, the brain is problematic to eat. But the head itself is mutar. So it sounds from like here that it's only because of the krum shamoach, which we saw before, the membrane that's around the brain which has blood in it, that's what's causing the problem here. And the brain's also problematic because of that blood then, which absorbs into the brain area. And by the tarnagolet, we don't have that. We don't have any krum around the tarnagolet that's causing the blood to be captured inside the animal. That's unique to the brain and the membrane of the brain, and therefore it'll be mutar. Venira degam chutim shebalechi, and Tosafot points out also that the veins, arteries that are found in the cheeks, asurim elo chatchan, if you have to cut them to allow the blood to drain from there, mitchila, shegam hum asurim shum dam. Just like we said before, that the problem here is with the brain, is the membrane around it, because that has blood in it. We saw earlier in the Gemara as well that the cheeks are problematic because of the blood in the cheeks. So you'd also have to cut those open and allow the blood to drain in order for the head to be mutar. And now the Gemara continues. It goes back to something that we had seen earlier, which is, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shnei Gidim Hein. There are two Gidim. In terms of the Gida Nasheh, we saw this before. There's a Gida Pnimi and the Gida Chitzoni. There's a Gida Pnimi Hein. A Pnimi, Samuch Le'etzem, Asur V'chayivin Alav. The internal one is close to the bone, rides over the hip bone. And that is the one that is the Gida Nasheh Min HaTorah. And therefore, your chayvin alav chitzon, the outer one, is samuch lebasar, is buried inside of the flesh. It doesn't ride over the bone, but actually goes through the flesh. Asur vein chayvin alav. It's also midrabanon, but it's not chayav because there's no isur deoraita. Va'atanya, don't we have a braita that says the opposite? Pnimi samuch lebasar, the internal gid, internal meaning the one that is closer to the inside of the leg. That one is samuch lebasar, gets buried in the flesh. So Amar Rav Acha, Amar Rav Kahana, ikludei miklod, meaning that when it drops down to lower part of the animal, then it goes into the basar. So that oto gida roch, Rashi says, chozer v'nichnas b'basar. After it's crossed over the hip bone and rides on the bone in the upper part, when it comes further down the leg, nichnas b'basar, it enters into the flesh. V'atam karele samuch the basar. So lower down on the leg, that's called inside the basar. It's buried in the basar because it moves away from the bone. And now we're going to see the opposite is true with the chitzon. That's the Gemara says now, Vahatanya Chitzon Samuch Le'etzem. Then we say that the outer one, being the one found in the, facing the outside of the animal, that's buried inside the flesh. But we have a braita that says that it's riding on the bone. So Rav Yehuda Eicha Depari Tabche. That's lower down where the butchers start to cut into the animal. They skin the animal from there, they cut off the leg. Over there, it's close to the Etzem. That means further down. Up top, it's buried inside of the flesh. As it drops down, it winds its way closer to the bone and wraps itself around the underneath the bone and then around the bone. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the one that we spoke about before, is on the upper part. In the upper part, the pnimi rides on the bone, and the chitzoni is buried in the flesh. As you come further down the leg, it switches around. The pnimi, which was on the bone, coming over the hip, then stays into the basar and moves away from the bone. On the other hand, the chitzon, which up top near the hip was inside of the buried in the flesh. When it comes further down the leg, it starts to maneuver and wrap itself around the bone, as close to the bone. So that's how we reconcile between the breitot and the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Itamar, tabach shenimtza chelev acharav. We found chelev in an animal that a tabach was selling, which brings into question his integrity. So Rabbi Yehuda Mar Biksora, the amount that we're looking for is a barley's width. That's the amount that we're going to hold him accountable for. Yochanan Mar Bikzayit, has to be at least a kazayit. Samar Papa lo plige, they don't argue. Kan lechal koto, one is to get malkot for it. V'kan lavro, and one is to depose him, to remove him from his station, that he'll lose his license to be a butcher. So Marzutra kisaora b'makom echad. When it comes to kisaora, it has to be in one location. That's a much smaller shiur. They have to be together, kisaora. Kazayit afilu bet ugimu mekomot. When it comes to kazayit, it doesn't have to be in a single location. It can be in multiple locations, but there's a kazayit worth of chelev left. V'hilchata, the aloch is alkoto, to give him malkot for leaving that type of chelev around. That's b'kazayit. That's a bigger shiur. Lavro, to remove him from his station, to remove his license as a butcher, that's biksora, that's the smaller shear. So again, for the smaller shear, we're going to say you're removed from your position. The bigger shear, you will get malkot. Eina tabachim nemanim. So now, when it comes to the Mishnah, it says, Eina tabachim nemanim. Amra b'chir ba'av amra b'yochran, chazud omar nemanim. They changed later on, they said that the butchers are nemanim. At first they said not, and then later on they said yes. Rav Nachman Achshurei Dare? What, the generations are getting better? We're more trustworthy now than we were in the earlier generations? Me, Karo Dabu Sabri Leik Rabbi Meir. Originally, they passed on like Rabbi Meir, which was a big tircha to remove the gid and the chelev. They didn't believe the butchers. So, Sabri Rabbi Yehuda, after they changed the loch and they passed on like Rabbi Yehuda, which is much easier to remove the gid and it's not a big tircha, then they said that they were nemanim. Igad Amadin Le'a Seifa. Some put it on the Seifa itself, which is Chamim Omrim. Nemanim alav v'ala chelev, that he's believed on it, it being the gidon asher, to remove it, v'ala chelev, on the chelev as well. As Tosfot points out over here, when we nemanim alav v'ala chelev, with stam chelev ari. We're not talking about the chelev of the gid, we're talking about stam chelev. And the reason is, Rabbi Meir believes that it's a big tircha to take out the gid, because he requires you to be mechatei tachareha. And the chelev also is a lot of work to take it out. So not as much work as the gid, but it's still a lot of work, and therefore they're not neman. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe, Rabbi Yehuda believes, that the ability to take out, you just have to be gomomo and shofi to take out the gid, which isn't so difficult. And the chelev, which is, well, it's more difficult than the gid, but still is not as difficult as removing the gid of Rabbi Meir, and therefore they are nemanim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm Rabbi Chir Ba'av, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Chazul Omar ain't nemanim. After at first we said they were trustworthy, then we said they're not trustworthy. So I'm Rabbi Nachum Banazeh nemanim. Now today, they came back to being trustworthy. So Mar says, Akshar Dare? What do you mean? The generations got better? Things are all of a sudden more trustworthy? So no, mi kara savrua ki Rabbi Yehuda. Originally, they thought the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda. Hadar savrua ki Rabbi Meir. Then they made the halacha like Rabbi Meir. So first they thought the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda, so it was easy to clear out. That's why they were nemanim. Later on, they said the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, which is much more difficult to process. And then they said no more they nemanim because it's too much work. Then kamad habad dechira la de Rabbi Yehuda. Well, after they moved the psak to Rabbi Meir, there were still people who remembered Rabbi Yehuda's psak, and that's why they weren't nemanim. Because they still relied on Rabbi Yehuda's psak, and they did what they said Rabbi Yehuda, but that wasn't good enough. But hashda an shiua. But today, and that's what Rav Nachum was saying today, they're believed because nobody remembers the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Now it's been tofes, the minhog, ki Rabbi Meir. And since the minhog is like Rabbi Meir, nobody thinks about Rabbi Yehuda anymore, mehemne. So since now they're believed because nobody thinks about doing it the easier way, there's only one way to do it. That's the way that Rabbi Meir said. And therefore, they are nemanim. And Tosafot points out, when we say here, chazru liot nemanim, by day is by the gidon asher. Not by the chelev. That's by the gid and asher, they were nemanim because of this change in psak between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, but the issue of the chelev remains in place. Once they said that it was problematic, they didn't come and retract that, and that remains v'ala chelev. It says that we're neman alav, v'ala chelev. Where it says, chelev mandakar shmei. When did chelev get mentioned that all of a sudden we're talking about chelev? Rabbi Meir didn't mention chelev, that all of a sudden we're responding to him. So achi gemar, ein amanim alav, v'ala chelev. The nemanim is modifying both of them. Name nemanim alav on the gidon asher, v'ala chelev is about the fats. Komemarim nemanim alav v'ala chelev, that they're believed about it, the gidon asher, and the chelev. So by amending it to read in the beginning, ein nemanim alav, that they're not believed about it, plus the chelev, now we see that it's modifying both of them. The nemanim and lo nemanim is modifying both the chelev and the gid, and that's why the chamim's response involved chelev. Whereas beforehand, it looked like we were just talking about the gid, and all of a sudden the chamim's response is
Ne'emanim alav v'al ha'chelev. Gid and chelev. Where did chelev come from? The answer is that when we said that they were not ne'emanim on the gid, Rav Meir also meant they weren't ne'emanim on the chelev. And the Chachamim's response is to both of those. They're ne'eman on the gid, and they're ne'eman on the chelev. I mean, that's the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Okay, we'll stop over here by the Mishnah.